Good to be in church this morning. Beautiful day. Man, what a blessing.
Amen.
We had a great day yesterday. Now, if you read your Bible, and I hope you do, you read, Galatians. And Galatians, Paul straightened out some things with the Church of Galatia. And he straightened some things out, and he says some things, and he says it pretty pointedly. And go to Galatians chapter 1. And I want you to look at verse 6. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He's saying to the Galatian church, he said, I'm just marvel that you are so soon removed away from the truth and away from the gospel. The true gospel, as Brother Mike was talking about this morning. He said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul's saying, let the guy die and go to hell if he continues to preach a false gospel and damning people. You know, there's religions all over this country today and all around the world that's damning people to hell on a daily basis. People are going to hell trusting in a lie. And you ever thank God for the truth? Amen. You say, well, how do I know I got the truth? If you got a Bible, King James Bible, and you're reading it, you got the truth in your hands. You got the truth. And people, people would go about just trying to pervert the Word of God, trying to mess it up. And that's why all these new Bibles come to the market. See, what people don't realize, the devil would love to mess you up. And what he does, he's inspired these people to go about starting, starting new religions and starting these religions that pervert the gospel of Christ and try to add to it, try to take away from it and give you a new Bible. There's 200 and some English Bibles on the market. And now they've got a neuter Bible. God's not man. He's not a woman. He's just neuter. And they got all kinds of crazy stuff out there. And they got Bibles where they take this sexual orientation stuff out, and they want to pervert the gospel. And constantly, day in, day out, people are perverting the gospel of Christ. They're perverting it. I thank God, like Brother Mike was teaching this morning, the gospel of Christ is still does a job. It's still got power. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's power in the gospel. And Paul's saying, if a guy doesn't preach the gospel and he's trying to pervert it, you got Jehovah's Witnesses coming around, you got Mormons coming around, you got the Catholic priests coming around, you got all these different religions coming around trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And they always say, I was a Baptist. And I always say to them, you're not a good one then. If you're perverting the gospel, you went off somewhere else, you're not a good one. You didn't read your Bible. And when you read your Bible, it doesn't make robots. It makes individuals. When you read your Bible, you start seeing things the way God sees it, and you get the mind of Christ. And look what he says. And now, this is not the message this morning. It's not it. But he said, "For as we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For I do not, do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." And he's know that for the truth, because when he went up to Jerusalem, he preached to the Jews. Now, look over chapter 3. Look, chapter 3. Galatia church needed to be straightened out, and every church in America has got some kind of problem they need to straighten out. But if you got the book and you got the King James Bible as the Word of God as the foundation of what we believe and what we stand for, little things get straightened out. Major doctrine, what we believe is still intact. It's there. What we believe, the virgin birth. I mean, we believe in the autonomy of the church and all that. We believe all these things. But Paul says in chapter 3, he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" He said, man, you guys got messed up and you got bewitched somehow before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evident, set forth, crucified among you. He said, man, you've had the truth and now something come along. What happened to you? What happened to you? Where'd you go off? Where'd you get off at? I mean, where'd you go wrong at? He said, something bewitched you. And a lot of times I think a bunch of Christians have been bewitched, man. We used to watch that show on TV, Bewitched, you know. She could twinkle her nose. Everybody thought, oh, I'd love to do that. Change somebody into something, you know, change a person into an elephant or a cow or something else. And that's what they believe in India. They believe that. They believe their ancestors, you know, reincarnation, come back as a cow. And that's why they won't eat a cow. They won't kill an animal. They believe they came reincarnated into something else. So they get, you know, the people starving to death and there's animals there that they could eat. It says, this only would I have learned of you, receive ye the Spirit of by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? And is it yet in vain? He therefore that minister you, the Spirit worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, it was counted on him for righteousness. And then he goes on down talking about the Abrahamic covenant that he had made by faith. It was by faith. And I mean, this day and time, if you ought to get down on your knees tonight and thank God that you're saved by grace through faith, amen, that you didn't have to keep the works of the law to get into heaven. Like Brother Mike said, the law is not done away with. The law is still intact, but man, thank God by faith we're saved. We don't get to heaven by the law, but we obey the law. We obey the law. The Ten Commandments is still in effect. They're getting rid of the Ten Commandments in our country. We want to get rid of it, get it out of school. That's why our country's in the mess it's in. That's why, man, Judge Moore, they put him in, I guess, got him in court for having the Ten Commandments in his courtroom in Alabama. There was a big thing. How many of y'all remember that? There was a big thing, Judge Moore, and then, you know, just all kinds of crazy stuff. There's people that are out to destroy our faith and destroy what we believe in, what we stand for. There's people out there, and the ACLU and all the rest of them, they hate God. They hate anything to do with God. And they just want to get God out of our country, get God out of our churches. One day it's going to come down where they're going to say, if you preach propaganda, they're going to call it gospel. They're going to call the gospel of Jesus Christ propaganda. And China, you know, they said, if you preach that, we're going to take away your tax exempt. And if you can't pay your taxes, we'll raise your taxes, and then we'll take away your land. And you say, what happened? What happened? Well, we just keep on preaching, because we go right back to the book of Acts where they met in houses. And they met, I mean, that's going on, that went on in Russia when the Soviet Union was in power, going on in China right now where they meet in houses. And you said, well, you're painting a pretty bad picture. Hey, it's not going to get better like evolution teaches. Everything's getting better. It ain't getting better, brother. Sisters, it ain't getting better. It's getting worse. And if you don't recognize that, there's something wrong with you. I mean, I thank God for grace of God, for the faith of God, and faith in Jesus Christ. But I want to go to chapter 5 and let's look at this. Chapter 5. In chapter 5, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. I mean, we have liberty in Jesus Christ. He says, stand fast. So what do you mean, stand fast? How many military guys in here? How many military? We know what stand fast is. I mean, stand fast. And you stand there and you're ready. Stand fast. And you're ready and stand at attention and stand and listen for orders. And the world, man, is going to come at you. They're going to try to destroy what we believe in. They're going to try to tear down what we believe in. People are constantly. I just saw on CNN the other night. They were making fun. They were making fun. That guy on the CNN, forget what his name is, Cuomo, whatever his name is. And he was making fun of people wanting to have a straight pride parade. He was making fun of that. He was saying, what's the matter with these people wanting to have a straight pride parade? Hey, man, they're having a parade for everything else, man. They have a parade for, you know, a gay parade and all that stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. Those folks they're not ashamed of what they do. They're not ashamed. They'll come down the street half naked if your kids are out there. They'll try to propaganda the kids, mess with your children and all that stuff. They're trying to get into schools. You say, well, you hate them? No, I hate the sin. I don't hate them. I tell you what, I want to see them saved. I'll preach the gospel to them. But look, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ have made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. Again, with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ hath profited you nothing. But I say, testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. A person that says, I believe in Ten Commandments, I believe in keeping the Ten Commandments, the Bible says you've got to do every bit of them. You got to do it. I had a lady tell you, I've told this this story before. Had a lady tell me one time, she says, I said, are you saved? She said, yes, I am. I said, well, how do you know you're saved? Can you? She goes, I believe in keeping the Ten Commandments. I said, that's good. What a blessing. I said, but you think the Ten Commandments get you to heaven? She said, oh, yes. Keeping the Ten Commandments is the golden rule. I believe that gets us to heaven. I said, can you quote me one? And she said, what? I said, can you quote me one of the Ten Commandments? She couldn't quote it to me. She didn't know one. And I said, man, that's pretty bad. If you say you believe in getting to heaven by the Ten Commandments and you don't even know, you can't even quote one? That's pretty bad. I said, matter of fact, I said, just tell me or show me in the Bible where they're at. She couldn't even show me in the Bible where they're at. I said, well, let me show you. So I started reading. I said, have you ever broke this one? And, oh, yeah, I broke that one. I said, then you trusting that to get you to heaven? The Bible says if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty for every bit of it. If you offended in one point. And I said, you've offended. Everybody in this room has offended the law in one point or another. You've touched on it, man. You've done it. We had somebody was talking about adultery. And somebody said, well, I did that. You know, and that's the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. No. Look here, Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 2. He says, I say unto you that if you be circumcised, look down to verse 4. Christ has come of none effect unto you, whosoever of you that are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. He said, if you think that you can get justified, he said, you're not fallen from grace like the charismatics teach. The charismatics teach, if you've fallen from grace, then you lost your salvation. He's not talking about that. He's saying, you never had it in the first place. Yeah. You never had it there in the first place, because if you think that Ten Commandments are going to get you to heaven, then you never trusted the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said, Christ has become of none effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the works of the law are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness of faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Then he goes on down, he says, ye have run well. You have run well. Ye have run well. He said, who hindered you? He said, you have run well. I'm going to preach this morning on you have run well. I mean, man, you started out right. You started running pretty good. He said, you ran pretty good. That's what he's saying to the Galatian church. You all started out right. I mean, you were doing pretty good. You ran well. But who hindered you? Who was it that stopped you? Who was it that hindered you and got in the way and messed you up? Who was it? You know, we always like to point the finger at somebody. I mean, we always want to say hypocrites in the church. Or it was that person or that person. And the way they live, it caused me to not want to go to church. Or the way they live, I tell you what, the way they live made me want to get them in church more. Yeah. Amen? And get them around preaching. It made me not, that didn't stop me from wanting to serve God. Amen. But what happens is people will sit around and they'll look at each other. And the Bible says, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. That's not wise to do that. You start looking at other people, you'll start, man, you'll get depressed and you'll get all upset. And you'll say, well, they go to church and look at them. That's what the argument of the millennial generation is. Well, my parents went to church, but they're a bunch of hypocrites. The way they live, the way they act, and then the kids come out behind that, and they say, look at that. They're a bunch of hypocrites too. So they don't want to go to church. They don't want to live for God. They don't want to do what's right, and it's all your fault. You didn't run well. Who hindered you? You ran well. You started out right. You know, the Bible tells us we're in a race, and the race is not against each other. Take your Bible. Brother Mike was there this morning. Take your Bible. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, you're running a race. We're in a race, man. And the old saying is only one life will soon be passed. And what's done for Christ will last. I mean, we're in a race. And what happens is what people do, they'll sit on the sidelines and they'll criticize the people running. Yeah. They'll say, look at that. Look the way they run. They run kind of stupid. Look at them. They're kind of clumsy, ain't they? But at least they're running.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
At least they're running, man. I mean, some of them can't. I mean, I watched that tough man contest or whatever thing is where they in Hawaii where they go through all that stuff. I sat there and cried watching that. That was the type of the Christian race, because you never know what's going to be thrown at you. I mean, they have to prepare for it. They have to swim the channel, whatever that is, and then they got to ride a bike so far, and they got mountains and all that stuff. And I watched them run across that line, and they came across there falling down, I mean, bruised up, and they were out of breath. And man just started, and I watched one guy just crawl. He started crawling to the finish line. Man, I sat there going, yeah, come on, come on. I was crying watching that. You said, man, you're crying over something. Hey, I was something foolish, but it was running a race. But I'll tell you what, that's what the Christian life is.
Yep.
I mean, how are you going to finish? You start out right. How are you going to finish? How are you going to get done? You say, well, I'm just going to quit. I'm going to show everybody. Yeah. I'm just going to quit and sit on the sidelines and just let everybody else go by. Boy, I tell you what, that might be fine for you for a little while, but wait till you get to heaven and see what Jesus Christ looks you in the eyes. Mm-hmm. And heaven said, what's the matter with you? I mean, he said, you ran well. Who hindered you? What happens is you'll pick out everybody else's sin. You'll pick out faults of everybody else, and you'll start pointing your finger at everybody and try to justify yourself. You'll justify why I'm not going to serve God. I mean, we get to that place. Boy, I tell you what, the Bible says, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. The most tragic thing is for a Christian to quit running.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's the most tragic thing. You know what my job is as a pastor? Brother Mike's job as a pastor? Well, our job is to get up and preach and say, don't quit. Amen. Keep running.
Amen.
And we're on the man, we go on the sideline and say, come on, get back up. We're trying to get people back in church. I mean, I hope you're trying to do the same thing. We're trying to get people back in church. Brother Mo would say to me, what happened to so-and-so? What happened to so-and-so? A lot of times they quit running.
Yeah.
They just quit. And they said, well, I just don't feel good. I'm going to tell you something. If you went to church every time you felt right, you wouldn't go at all.
Yeah,
April said it a minute ago. She said, man, I thank God and the Lord get me up. I don't feel like it. But I asked her yesterday, how you feel? She said, tired. I said, I feel that way too all the time. I mean, I'm tired. Just, man, you said, man, this life is only a short time.
Right.
Only a short time. He said, you ran well. Who hindered you? Tragic thing. Don't not keep going forward. You got to keep pushing on, man. You got to keep going. And that's what Paul's writing to the Galatian church. He said, you ran well, but who hindered you? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, know you not that they run in race, run all? Give it all you got. You know what I've seen Christians do? I've seen Christians run for 5 years, and I've said this to Roe. Roe used to be on fire for God, and he still is. He called me yesterday. He said, preacher, he said, pray for me. I'm preaching both services. The pastor's out of town. He said, I'm preaching both services tomorrow morning. He said, pray God give me power, and they have two services at their church. He said, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and then they have Sunday school in between. And he said, pray the Lord give me power, and I see some souls saved. And I said, amen, brother. That's why I'm praying for you. And I prayed for this morning for all the guys, all the different preachers that we know that's out of this church, and my son and Nathan down there just took over People's Baptist Church. Pray for all of them that God would help them and strengthen them, and they would have fruit in their life, and they would have power to preach. But the Bible tells us that we're running a race, and man, you're supposed to run on. What happens is, like I said, people sit around, and you know what you like to do? You like to sit on the sidelines and just watch everybody else do it. And that's the way most Christians are. They sit on the sidelines, watch somebody else do it, and then they'll pick them apart on what they didn't do. It's like Monday morning quarterback. It's like, well, you know, that quarterback, you know, we're going to get another quarterback because that guy, you know, he doesn't see the whole scheme of the field. He's not looking, and they're picking him off because they see where he's looking. He's supposed to be looking around the field. And you play Monday morning quarterback all the time with Christians.
Yeah.
And you'll tear it apart.
Yeah.
But let's see you get your butt out there one time.
Yeah.
See how good you do. I've had people come to church when I first started pastoring. They said, let me tell you something. You're doing it all wrong. You're doing it all wrong. Let me tell you how it's all done. I said, have you ever pastored before? No. Have you ever had any experience in pastoring before? No. But I know how to do it. I said, you do, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? You'd run everybody off. That's what you would do. You'd run everybody off, and then you'd go up and say, well, all them 30 people, they wouldn't come to church, stinking dogs. Nobody wants to live for God. Nobody wants to do right. You get this Elijah syndrome in your life.
Yeah.
You act like that. My Lord, look what he says. Know ye not that they that run the race run all. One receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Run. Run, Forrest, run. You know what? You know what would be good? What would be good is start your race and finish it at the same pace. Or actually pick it up a little bit. They say when you're running the race, you're supposed to save a lot for the finish line.
Yeah.
When I was in the Army, it was in Missouri, and we're running in the Army, and man, he had the full backpack, and there was guys crying. There was guys falling down. And I finally was tripping over people, jumping over people, because they were falling down. And the sergeant, he's running alongside. And finally, I got tired of flipping over people, tripping over people. I got up, and I passed everybody. I passed everyone, and drill sergeant said, what are you doing up here, Ryman? I said, I'm tired of falling over people. I'm going to stay right with you. And I'll tell you what, you better stay right with Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Stay right close to him. Because why? You're going to trip over some people. You're going to have some people fall down. I tried to get them up. I tried to get them up as we were coming across. I said, come on, man. I tried to do it. They said, well, don't leave anybody behind. I'm trying to help them up. Come on, God. And they, oh, I just can't do it. That's why most Christians are, I just can't do it. I can't live for God. Oh, leave me alone. I'm just going to quit. Come on, man.
Amen.
Come on. Let's get with it. As a church, let's get with it.
Yeah.
Let's do something for God. We've been doing it for 30-some years here together. Thank God for the folks that are faithful. When we see Brother Bob came in the back door, Bob stood at that door for 20 years. He was faithful there at that door.
Yep.
Man, faithfulness. We want to keep running.
Amen.
I mean, why? I don't think this is the best years yet. I think the Lord's going to give us more years and we're going to see some more fruit. He said, man, I'll tell you what, that's hard, but it's up to us.
Yep.
It's up to us.
Amen.
We want to, how many of y'all want to see more teenagers in the church?
Amen.
That means more trouble.
Yeah.
How many of you want to see more kids in the church? That means more trouble.
Yeah.
How many want to see some more old folks in the church? That means more trouble. Yeah, he resembles Edmar. So do I. The problem with seniors is they're tired. They're wore out. They don't want to do nothing. Look what it says. He says, every man that strive for the mastery is temperate in all things. I'm glad I started pastoring when I was 30 years old. Started pastoring here at 30 years old. And I'm glad. I'm glad we had our last child at 30 years old. My wife and I had children while we were young. I tell people all the time, you better have kids while you're young. Can you imagine me having a son now? And time he got old enough for me to play ball with him, I'd be out there. And my kids, they would say, oh, that's gross. He says, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Temperate, you know what temperate is? It's you know, keeping you cool. I mean, temperate is you know, it's likened to temper, but it's being able to control and prepare self for the long haul. You know, a guy doesn't run a marathon. Nobody goes out. If I say, well, I'm going to run the Boston Marathon. I'm just going to go up there, get in my car. I'll drive up there, and I'm just going to get my shorts on, which I probably won't. And I don't want nobody to see my skinny, bony legs. Stacy was teasing me about my feet the other day. She said, your feet so bright, preacher, we can't even look. And I had flip-flops or something on. I had something on. She was mocking it. But I said, I drove up to Boston, and I said, I'm going to run the marathon. And I've never done any running. Can you imagine what a kind of flop? I'd run maybe a mile, be on the sideline. Hey, you got 30 more miles to go, buddy. When the Bible talks about you did run well, who hindered you? You're supposed to pace yourself, man. I mean, most Christians are not looking down the road saying, I want to finish this race. I want to finish this race not with disgrace, but you got to prepare yourself, temperate. You got to prepare yourself for it. How do you prepare yourself for the race? The Word of God. Prayer, church, faith come by hearing. Brother Michael was talking about that this morning. Faith come by hearing. You prepare yourself by getting around where the Word of God is. And you study the Word of God on your own. Pray. Learn how to pray. I was sitting here while we were praying. I thought, we done prayed a couple of times, but that's nothing wrong with praying.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with praying a bunch of times. But look what he says. Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are what? How many of y'all know that Jesus Christ gives out crowns? Y'all know that?
Amen.
There's five crowns for a Christian. You say, man, as long as I can get to heaven and stand there in the crowd, I'll be just happy. When you see everybody else getting a crown for laying down their life for Jesus Christ and giving it all for Jesus Christ, is he not worth it? And you're going to go, my God, I wish I could go back and change it. My Lord. I therefore so run. Look what he says. Not as uncertainty. I mean, I'm running. I know what I'm doing. I know why I'm doing it. Are you running this race for Jesus Christ? Do you think about him? Do you think about, I want to finish this race. I want to see other people go along with me. I want to see other people get saved. I want to see brothers and sisters. I know Brother Mo mentioned that, and he prays for people. I want to see other people that are sitting on the sideline, get them up and say, come on, guys. It's good to see folks coming back to church. I want to get them up and get them back in church. We've been working on people, and it seems like some people, the more you work on them, the more they run from us. They just go, no. It's just like, you know, what in the world's the matter? Is church that bad? Is going to church and reading the Bible, praying, talking to God, is it that bad? My Lord, no, it ain't. But they want to point their finger at everybody. Well, they're hypocrites. And I realize you got some preachers that you know, they just badger the people. I'm not a badger. My brother Mike's not a badger. We don't badger the people, beat the people. I'm not a lord over God's heritage. I'm supposed to be an example and a leader. That's where the church ought to run. We ought to be, got good deacons, trustees. Look, take your Bible, look in Romans chapter 9. Look at Romans 9. Look at this. I mean, folks, this race is a lifetime. Once you got saved, it's a lifetime. I mean, you're supposed to be running the race. It's a blessing to see teenagers. Now, I remember Doc used to say this. He said, every man, you know, Bible says, and they God, you know, made the sheep, and the sheep, after, they had sheep after their own kind, and the cattle had cattle after their own kind. And, you know, Doc said, every Christian ought to have people after their own kind. You ought to lead somebody to Christ. Go after somebody. Brother, I thank God, Brother John Garner, they still haven't found out who killed Brother John. Y'all pray for that. Somebody hit him with a car, killed him, drug him in the back of a building, and laid him there. Pastor of West Providence Baptist Church. They still haven't found him, whoever did it. But Brother John, if he didn't go after me, I wouldn't be here. I owe him everything. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 16. He says, so then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showed mercy. Man, talking about running the race, he says, it's not him that willeth or runneth, it's God. God wants you to run. He wants you to serve. He wants you to show mercy. God is God. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. I mean, man, like I said, the most tragic thing for a Christian is to quit running. Quit serving God. You know what happens to a lot of Christians? They get to a point after they've been, you know, Brother Bob, how many years did you drive a bus? How many years? Huh? 19 years. If you were able, would you do it again? Would you do it now? If you could. It comes to a point in your life, you ain't going to be able to do some things. You better do what you can do while you can do it. And I'm going to tell you something else. You better be thanking God that you can do it. Amen. Don't begrudge it. Don't say, I wish I wasn't doing this job. It blesses me to be able to do anything for him. Yeah. Hebrews 12, look at this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. Anything that's going to hinder you from serving God. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. Let us run with patience. I was losing my patience the other day. Man, I was just getting, I don't know, I had prayed, said, God, I'm sorry. I wanted to get stuff done so bad. But everything I touched, it seemed like it just went bad. It says, let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. I'm glad that's in there. He said, He says he endured the cross. He endured it. And there's the things in this Christian life that you're going to have to endure. He said, Paul said to the Galatian church, he said, you ran well, but who hindered you? He said, well, I just got tired. I just laid the burden down. You're not supposed to lay your burden down until you get to heaven. And this life is going to have burdens. It's going to have troubles. Like I said, I've been pastoring 32 years. I can tell you about some troubles. I can tell you about some things. I can tell you about some funerals I've preached. Scenes of heartache and sorrow and screaming and crying and yelling. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Now, I've had to ask God, forgive me at times. Lord, help me to not endure it. Help me to enjoy it. Help me to enjoy serving you. The joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I mean, man, the race is real. The race is got obstacles. It's going to have obstacles. Yeah. I mean, that's the way it's made. Go in Galatians chapter 5 again. Go back to Galatians 5. The race has got obstacles. And a lot of times, the obstacles could be your family members. It can be your family members. When I got saved, my wife and I, my dad would say, I told him, I said, Dad, I'm going to go to Bible school. And he said, you don't love your family if you leave. You don't love your family. And your family sometimes can be an obstacle. And I'm not saying you get rid of your family. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, you know, persecute your family. But a lot of times your family can be, Jesus said, a prophet is without honor, but is among his own kind. Ken, I mean, you're going to have obstacles. And the obstacles come up in your life, and you're running a race, and you run, and what do you do when you run up against the obstacle? Do you just stop and stand there? I can see a guy running and come to a bench that has to jump, or what do you call that?
Hurdles.
Come to a hurdle, and he goes, can't go no further. I can't get over it. There's some things in this life that's going to hinder you. You say, I just can't get over it. I just can't get over it. God will help you through it.
Yep.
Matter of fact, he can help you get around it.
Yep.
There's a way around, or there's a way over, or the way under. There's a way.
Yep.
There's always a way. When I went in the Army, I got in a fight with the drill sergeant right when I got there. I almost got kicked out of the Army. And finally, God got a hold of my heart in the room one night. And I say, okay, God, I'm going to try to be the best soldier I possibly can. I give it to you. And I'd never forget, I volunteered for everything. I was stupid. I volunteered for everything. And whenever he says, we have a volunteer, I said, I'll do it. And it was an obstacle course that I had to run. And then when I came down, it was a big old tree that swung at you. And it was on ropes. And you're supposed to, what you're supposed to do is run with your weapon and your have all your gear. And you're supposed to hit the deck and crawl under it fast as you could so it wouldn't knock your head off. I tried to go over it. Them guys laughed so hard, they laughed because, man, that thing hit me. And I went over and I was laying on that tree and it was just swinging back and forth. I'm laying on that tree. And with my weapon in my hand and everything, man, I got up and you said, what? I didn't go out and say, shut up, you bunch of don't laugh at me. I didn't do that. What did I do? I laughed with them. I said, that was stupid. That was stupid. And the drill sergeant said, yeah, that was stupid, man. So I learned a lesson. And then you know what? It taught the other guys, don't try that because it mess you up. You're going to have obstacles that come up in your life. And they're going to hinder you if you let them. He said, you ran well. Who hindered you? Well, so-and-so goes to church there, and they said something about my child, and they talk about my child, and anybody can talk about my child, and I'm my child. I'll tell you what, I'll just leave the church if they talk about my child. Your child don't walk on water. They talked about my kids. They still talk about my kids. They're going to talk about my grandkids. Who cares? It hurts. It bothers. What bothers the parents is when the kids get upset. And then you're ready to fight. You get ready to fight when somebody bothers, you know. But I'll tell you what you got to do is you got to be temperate. You got to stop and think. You got to go, oh God, Lord, what they said, if that's true, it ain't right. And God, help me to handle the situation right. But you know what most people don't pray? They just go at it. As a Christian, you're supposed to pray. God, give me wisdom how to handle this. The Bible tells you how to handle things. Be temperate. Control yourself. Joy of the Spirit. Have the Spirit of God in you. You know, I said this last week. I said, if a person's filled with the Spirit of God, when I got victory over cussing, I said this Wednesday night, when I got victory over cussing, it was a blessing. And what happens is, when you get mad, those old familiar words come up.
Yep.
And when you get victory over that, when the Spirit of God's, and you've been walking with the Lord, and you get victory, I'll never forget the first time I slapped my finger, and I didn't cuss, and I didn't even think of a bad word.
Amen.
When somebody cuts me off in traffic, I don't think about cussing them out. I don't think about giving them Hawaiian, you know, whatever. One finger salute or whatever that is. I don't think about that stuff. You know what I think? I think, man, it'd be a blessing. They pull over, I can give them a track. That'd be a blessing. Be a witness to them. I mean, who hindered you? You said, well, you don't know about what went on. You don't know so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. Who cares? Especially if they're lost. If they're saved, you need to pray for your brother and sister.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says, you that are spiritual, Galatians, look at that. You don't believe me. Look in Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, that could be talking about your kid. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Are you spiritual? You did run well. Who hindered you? I've seen people fall out of church over somebody talking about them, somebody talking about their child, somebody saying something about their work. Brother Ingram said to one time, he called me up and he said, pray for me, brother. He said, I got the situation in church. I got two people spatting. He said, they're spatting. He said, and then the next week I said, how did it turn out? He goes, well, they both left.
Yeah.
Isn't that the way the devil is?
Yep.
He likes to conquer, divide, and destroy. And he said, both families left. He said, I didn't do a thing wrong. They both said, I can't come to church here because so-and-so is coming here. And they both said the same thing, and they both left. And he said to one, he says, well, they don't come here no more. So I don't care. I'm just going somewhere else. Guess what? They ran into each other in another church. You ain't going to get away with it, man. You did run well. Who hindered you? Why did you stop? Why did you get to that hurdle? You said, well, I couldn't get over it, couldn't get around it. Well, I prayed, God will show you a way.
Amen.
Are you come to a hurdle this morning? God able to get you through it. Inconsistency. You need to be consistent in your walk with God. You need to have a daily time praying, a daily time of reading your Bible, a daily time. You know what? You said, well, I don't have time. I guarantee you. If I spent time with you, I'd find time for you. Most, they say the average person sits in front of a TV set 3 to 5 hours a day. You tell me out of that 3 to 5 hours, you can't read a Bible and you can't pray? How about riding down the road when you're at work? Brother Mike was telling me he prays a lot while he drives. Man, praying. Man, inconsistency in Christians. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about there?
Yeah.
If you're looking at others, you'll be defeated. Were you hindered by just persecution, opposition, things that come in your life? You think, why me? You all remember or you just getting up here going, why not you? Why not you? I mean, April got cancer. We go, God, why? I don't understand it. My wife needs a hip replacement. But I know why that is. She's the leg wrestle and a leg wrestle of all the kids. And we're at camp and Mark, she took Jason and flipped Jason over her like he was a fly. She just went, boom, threw Jason. So we called Mark McGee over. Mark McGee got up there and he threw her that way. That messed up her hip right there. Well, I'm going to sue Mark McGee thinking about it. I'll sue him. Yeah, he ain't got nothing. You ran well. You going to let somebody stop you? Especially, this is God's work. It's God's business. You're God's child. You going to let that stop you? You going to let some other Christian put his foot out, cause you to fall, and you going to stay there? We're all going to face something. We all got something in our lives. Trials, troubles, persecutions, sorrow. God allows trials in your life. You know what the psalmist said, David said? He said, God afflicted me. He said, God afflicted me. You think God can't heal? God allows affliction in your life. He allows it. And the older we get, we get afflicted also with things coming in our life because of sin entered into the world. Adam and Eve's sin passed it down to us. It's their fault. They took of the fruit, but you said, well, I want to tell them something when I get to heaven. I'm going to tell Adam and Eve something. Yeah, but if you were in the same situation, you'd probably done the same thing. He said, you ran well. Look back in Galatians chapter 5. He said, you ran well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? And this is about truth. You know what? People know what's right. They know what's right. They know they ought to be living for God. They know they ought to be in church. They know they ought to be reading their Bible. They know. But they reject the truth. And Doc used to say, light rejected becomes lightning. You reject truth. Don't reject truth. You know the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Don't sell the truth out. Because what happens is, you sell the truth out, you're going to be surrounded with lies. And you'll believe a lie. The Bible talks about in Romans chapter 1 that God's going to send them strong delusions, that they'd believe a lie rather than the truth. You ran well. Who hindered you? You can blame everybody else, but when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, that blaming everybody else ain't going to work. Why you don't serve God no more? Why you ain't you're faithful in church? Why you don't teach a Sunday school class anymore? Look what he says in verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. What happens is you start down that road. You start down that road and rejecting truth and man being hindered. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Everywhere you turn, everything turns to crud. You head down that road, you're not running the race. You're just sitting on the sidelines, blaming everybody else for your sin, for your fault. You know what? I can't blame anybody in this room or anybody around. I can't blame anybody for any kind of problems I have. But you know what people like to do? They like to be the victim. They want to find somebody they can blame. They want to be a victim all the time. That's what the problem with this thinking world. Everybody's a victim. But they don't want to take responsibility. It's me, O Lord. It's me. Standing in need of prayer. It's me, oh God. But that's the way it is. Christians don't fall in that stinking pit of self-pity and blaming everybody else and, man, not taking responsibility for your own race, not running. We're supposed to be running that race. Amen. You say, no questions, man. No questions. Run the race. I mean, no excuses. Run the race. We're supposed to be running. Pace yourself. What happens is people got going good. I've seen Christians in this church. Y'all, how many of y'all in this church know people that start out good?
Amen.
They ain't running no more. How are they going to end up? Shame. You say, are they going to heaven? If they're saved, how are they going to end up? Shame. You know, I've run into people that got saved. They were on fire for God. They were living for God. And maybe, I don't know who this might be for, might be for me. But I know it's for all of us. But I know people that got saved in this church that were on fire for God, and they started out good, and man, they got into something, or somebody said something to them, or they didn't like it, that somebody rebuked them, or somebody said something to them. Maybe it wasn't their place, fine. Maybe it wasn't their place to rebuke them, but somebody said something to them, and they got, I'm going to come to church no more. I'm just not going to church no more. And they quit going to church, and they won't go to church nowhere else. They said, ain't nobody like Faith Baptist Church, so they won't go nowhere else. And they end up in their lives, and I run into them, and their lives are messed up. The kids are messed up. And they say, I should never got out of church, preacher. Well, I said, well, come on back. I can't. Well, come on, man, get back in the race. I can't. Why? You know why? Pride. Yeah. Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride. So they get messed up in their life, and they quit running, and they end up going to their grave in shame. Do y'all want to live like that? I don't want to. You can find fault with me. You can find fault with everybody in this church. You can look around the room. You can know everybody's problem, their faults, their sin, and you can use that if you want. Or you can say, I'm going to try to help my brother. I'm going to try to help my sister and pray for him. And I'm going to try to encourage him, even though I know. I've helped people that's called me. I've helped people that called me and said, and they were talking about me, and I knew they were talking about this church. They were talking about me as a pastor, and they were saying all kinds of, but they called me when they needed help.
Yep.
And I knew what they did. I knew it. And when they called me, they said, Pastor, could you help me? I said, you know what I said? Sure, I'll be there.
Yep.
And y'all know that's the way I am.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's where you ought to be. Yeah. And I want to do better at that. I want to help people. I want to help, especially my brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? I want them to finish the race.
Yep.
I want all of us to finish the race running together, saying, amen. Come on, man. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's do it. Don't sit on the sidelines. Come on, don't sit on the sidelines. Let's keep running. We can make it.
Yeah.
The finish line is close.
Amen.
Let's muster up whatever is inside of us to finish the race for Jesus Christ. He said, you ran well. Who hindered you? The only one that can hinder you. The devil can't. He can try. The world can't. They can try. The only one that can hinder you is your flesh. It's you. You know what you got to do? You got to win the battle. Battle's right here. Temperate. Prepare yourself. Say, Lord, with your help, I can finish this race. With grace, strength, I can finish it with your help. You going to finish it? Or just going to sit on the sideline, criticize everybody else for what they're doing?
Amen.
God help us. Father, I pray, God, now you'd help my brothers and sisters this morning. Help us all, God, to... We're in this race. I know we're running against ourselves. I pray, oh, my Father, help us, Lord God, to finish this race, God, with the grace of God and the temperance that's in our lives. And I pray, my Father, that you'd strengthen us, Lord. And my Father, I pray, Faith Baptist Church, if we're running as a unit, help us to run, God, encourage one another, strengthen each other, not backbiting, biting each other and tearing each other apart. But God, we know about each other, and we've been around each other a long time. A lot of folks here, Brother Squiggy, Brother Bob, and Brother John, and the families. And God, we've all been together here a lot, and we know each other's faults and stuff like that, but we still love each other. We want to help each other, encourage each other. And that's the same way with all of these ladies, and Brother Rick and Sarah, and Brother Mark and Sheila, and all the others, the trustees, and Brother Ron and Carla, and all these trustees and deacons. And Lord, I'm not preaching this message because I know something going on. I'm just preaching it because of what you laid on my heart. And I pray, my Father, that you'd help us, Lord, even the next generation under them and the generation under them, that God, we would encourage all to finish the race that's set before us. My Father, help us to run all Help us do what we can, these buses, and trying to reach kids. And Brother Jim, Miss Judy, and Brother Eric and Bethany just taking over, Brother David and Nikki, and Brother Mike and Bethany. And Lord, just trying to win teenagers, kids. God, we're trying to keep this thing headed in the right direction, trying to keep run the race that's set before us. And God, we want to encourage the brethren. That's why we're trying to go after teenagers and children and older folks. Lord, I pray, God, you just help us, Lord. Because a lot of our generation, my generation, they're dropping off. They're dropping off. And we need the next generation, God, to keep going, keep running the race. There's churches dying all over this country because the next generation hadn't picked up the torch. Thank you for the men and women in this church, God, picking up the torch to run the race. I pray, God, for Brother Mike, and Ruth, Josh, and Kylie. And I pray, my Father, that you'd bless each and every young couple in the church. God, strengthen them. Help them to want to continue running that race. And even when it gets hard, when we get out of breath, we might have to stop just to keep walking, just take a walk and slow it down a little bit. But I pray, God, help us to pick it back up. Lord, has the church, all our trustees and their wives and their children, help us, Lord God, to have that focus to serve you till you come. Save that soul. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. How many in this room can say, Preacher, God spoke to my heart this morning.